Let's get into 1 Samuel chapter 14. And we have we started last week rejoicing in the encouragements of the bridal victory and glory all typed in this precious life of Jonathan. And immediately we saw Jonathan upon the scene, we saw that this was a life about double portion. Got that double portion victory. The Lord gave him the victory with half the numbers. And Jonathan, just to see the beauty, and you will see this time and time again, you talk about humility. It just poured over this precious vessel, the humility, the humbleness of his spirit. And in that was because he had complete confidence, and he, thank God, he submitted himself to the word of God. He submitted himself to the will of God. We'll get to this point with his relationship with David, but we have many glories to go before we get there. But mind you this, as we begin to think about this precious brother and all of the glories that are bestowed, when he is first touched with David, which God willing we'll get to if the Lord tarry, you know, David just is defeated Goliath. So he's standing there before the king, and Jonathan is listening to David as David speaks to Saul. And you have to think, David probably is about 15 years old when that's going on. And here is Jonathan. And Jonathan probably is somewhere between 35 and 45 years old. But it's at that point that Jonathan's heart is melded, in a sense, with David's. That encouragement that he has. Now, once again, let's think of this. This is just a little shepherd boy. He doesn't know all the inner workings that God has, in a sense, that have been shown to him. But God showed something to his heart about the heart of that vessel that stood before him that was talking to his daddy, the king. Humility, humbleness, submission to what God's will is. It gives me chills, I'm telling you. We need to get this and really understand this for our lives. We want this kind of gain and this kind of victory, this kind of first love in our lives. Submit to the Lord. Submit to his will. No matter who you are, what you're about, and you have to think about Jonathan. Who was he? He was the eldest son of the king. He was the one in line to take the throne. Everything was lining up, as they said, you know, aces for this guy. But that didn't matter to him. What mattered to him was the heart of God. Isn't that awesome? His natural life didn't mean a thing. It was all about the Spirit and about the love of God. Marvelous, marvelous, marvelous. Let's take note. Complete confidence in the Word of God. Jonathan has that exuberance, as we see, that young roe heart. Very much so like a David. He could see that same heart in his brother, obviously, as we'll get to it. But you keep in mind, as we speak of Jonathan as well, Jonathan, the son of the king, and eventually we're going to see that Jonathan had the first love in love with the king. Did you get that? And now are we the sons of God, amen? And we're pressing on, and I pray that I'll be found in first love, in love with the king. Praise God. So these things aren't just a coincidence. This is the word of God speaking to us. So we left off last week in chapter 13. And we saw, as we ended that chapter, the Philistines for many years had weighed very heavily on Israel. So heavily that they took all of the Israel's swords and they made them, if they either took them from them or they made Israel convert them into farming equipment, plows and shares and different things of that nature, so that they didn't have any types of sword. But the only two that had a sword were Jonathan and Saul. Now, that's something that's very important there. This is very powerful here because, praise be to God, we have a sword today. We have the sword today. And I thank God that we have that sword. And but now that we have the sword, what will we do with the sword? Will we have faith in grace to let the sword or the Spirit willed the sword in our life. And we're going to see this time and time again with Jonathan. Jonathan had confidence in the Word of God. He had confidence in the backing of God in his life. He had confidence, praise the Lord, that when things would rise up against them, he had the same spirit that David did. Who do you think you are, you uncircumcised Philistine? Huh? David did that to one. We're going to see Jonathan. It wasn't just one. He ran into a garrison. Amen, he did. Marvelous. And thanks be to God that, again, that same spirit. And I pray that we get this, that this is the encouragement we need to have. See, the word never changes. Right, praying, Jesus, your word, you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. Times may change. This world changes. The things of this world change. The conveniences, the power of man, all these different things. But the word of God never changes. So the word of God is the word and the power through every change. These things may change, but that power remains the same. All power given, all power in that name, and there be no power but of him. And he's got to give it. So thank the Lord we can have this kind of confidence. So the Lord has encouraged us as we go through these testimonies of Jonathan's life. We're going to take passages. At first I told you, I thought, well, we're going to pick here and there and kind of jump around. And it's just like, no. We got to saturate into these things because there's so much. And we only have such a little bit of time, and it's exciting to get to these, but it's rich. So let's go ahead and begin the 14th chapter tonight. And I think we're only going to read the first 10 verses, because if we get through that, that will be an amazing thing. So 14, 1 Samuel. Now it came to pass upon a day that Jonathan, the son of Saul, said unto the young man that bare his armor, come, let us go over to the Philistines' garrison, that is on the other side. But he told not his father. And Saul tarried in the uttermost part of Gibeah, under a pomegranate tree, which is in Migron. I think that's kind of funny. Sounds like migraine. And we'll get to why it does in a minute. And the people that were with him were about 600 men. And Ahiah, the son of Ahitub, Ichabod's brother, the son of Phinehas, the son of Eli. Now, I want you to think about this. As they introduce this guy, Ahiah, you would think, well, who is this? Because we got some names here that are being associated with him, Ichabod and Phinehas, that aren't real encouraging. We know that. Ichabod, God has departed. Phinehas, well, we know what happened to him. Now, Ahiah is the prophet. And he's a prophet. And, excuse me, not a prophet, a priest. I take that back. He is a priest. And in that, a high priest. And a very encouraging figure, as we will see, or I should say, as you go on with the word of God, the Lord used him. But in this case, you can see, as Saul is keeping company with him, that encouragement of the Lord that could be there for Saul isn't being received. Saul is surrounded, in a sense, of things that are very defeating. There's a lot of things that are being encouraged through this, and we'll get back to that in just a moment. So, it says, again, the Lord's priest in Shiloh, wearing an ephod, and the people knew not that Jonathan was gone. So no one knew that Jonathan was gone. And between the passages by which Jonathan sought to go over into the Philistines' garrison, there was a sharp rock on the one side, and a sharp rock on the other side. The name of the one rock was Bozez, and the name of the other rock was Sinah. The forefront of the one was situate northward over against Michmash, and the other southward against Gibeah. And Jonathan said to the young man that bare his armor, come and let us go over into the garrison of these uncircumcised. Sound familiar, doesn't it? It may be that the Lord will work for us. And there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few. And his armor bearer said unto him, do all that is in thine heart. Turn thee, Behold, I am with thee according to thy heart. Then said Jonathan, behold, we will pass over unto these men, and we will discover ourselves unto them. And if they say thus unto us, tarry until we come unto you, then we will stand still in our place and will not go up unto them. But if they say thus, come up unto us, then we will go up. For the Lord hath delivered them into our hand, and this shall be a sign unto us. One of my favorite passages of encouragement in a lot of ways about a heart that just believes in God. A heart that believes in God and just goes with God. Now, we have a great contrast here that we see in Jonathan and Saul once again, just like we saw last week between those two. Saul, what we have here, is going through the motions, if you will. Saul is thinking he is godly. And every time when we think that we're godly, when we think that we're doing something that's godly in our own strength, let me tell you something, that's wickedness to God. And we saw that last chapter because Saul, thinking that, well, I'm just going to do something godly here and I don't need to wait on the word of the Lord and I'm not going to hold dear the word of God, I'm going to go ahead and offer up that sacrifice so we can get on with it. And what happened that? That cost him the throne. That cost his family the throne. That cost all of his generations. It was cut off at that moment. Because God knew the heart of this man. And the heart of this man continued to go on and on in his strength. And unfortunately with Saul, he never turns from it. In his life, he goes forth continuing. And yet here his son, Jonathan, who sees this, and it's just in his face all the time, it shows us that we can make a choice. We don't have to be like those around us that aren't honoring God. That can break and it can change and it can be different. But notice who does it and what does it. It's the word of God. It's the word of God. Thank you, Jesus. Now, Saul going through these motions, showing again his self-will, showing again his self-righteousness, cost him the throne. But for us, brothers and sisters, may we take the grace of God for our lives. That when we approach God, we approach him with grace. We approach him expecting grace. We approach him, praise God, with the blood of the Lamb. We know, praise God, that now are we the sons of God. It's all because of the work of the blood. Amen? That we go in there boldly to that throne of grace. To find help. To find that mercy. To get that grace in time of need, praise be to God. And oh, does he pour it forth. Now, if we go in with anything but that grace and expecting grace, the right to rule and reign will be denied. But that was not the case for ones that are like Jonathan. Jonathan simply believed God, and godly character came forth from Jonathan. See, Jonathan didn't just have godly character. The word of the Lord that was with him caused that vessel to have godly character. Because how would he have known godly character? The only thing he had an example of in his life was his dad, who had goodly character. Because Saul was a goodly man. That's what the word of God said. He was a goodly man. But yet we know that David was a man after God's own heart. So what do you think melded Jonathan and David's heart together? It was because they had hearts that were their purpose was a heart after the very heart of God. And I thank the Lord. I thank God that it said it about David. But I see that same love and passion for the word of God in that sweet man, Jonathan. Hallelujah. And this is why he is such a mighty man to the king. So, let's notice here, too, that Jonathan kept his life and his encouragement only between him and the Lord. We start off here. He didn't make known to all what God had encouraged in his heart. Matter of fact, they didn't even know Jonathan was gone. What do you think was going to happen with the bride? You know, everybody's going to think, that, oh, wow, we knew that they got taken away. They're not even going to know she's gone. Praise God. Oh, there'll be some of the daughters of Jerusalem that'll tell, come back, come back. But for the most part, they won't even know that they're gone. That's when God's got to work. Now, it gets even sweeter, praise the Lord. Matter of fact, this mission that was given to Jonathan was even hidden from all the rest of God's people. Now you think about the bridal truth that's here for all of God's precious people. Don't you live a life you believe that really is hidden from the majority of God's people? They don't get it. They don't understand it. You explain things to them sometimes, but unless there's that will to know, unless there's that true encouragement by the Spirit to know, yea, the deep things of God, you won't enter into this. And it will be hidden. And praise be to God, God will take you out from among the camp. And that is just it. Because, see, those Israelites and Saul, they were all in fear. And what happens with fear when there's perfect love? Fear's gone, isn't there? But, see, you can't run in the perfect will of God in fear. See, that's why even as we become Christians, we accept the blood of the Lamb. At that moment, by the grace of God, we need to move in love because we were saved by love. God so loved that he gave his only begotten son. He so loved us. Amen. We didn't move in fear that way. It was because of the love of God. And that love of God in that great plan of God, now are we the sons of God. And thank the Lord, he tells us there's nothing that'll separate us from the love of God. But see, when a Christian grapples with eternal security, there's no way you're going to have a vision. There's no way you're going to have a vision to go on, yea, into the deep things of God, because you need the confidence of grace to run this race, don't you? Because if you're not confident in the grace of God, let me tell you something, you'll be defeated. If you don't have the confidence in the grace of God, you'll never press. I'm talking about unabandoned press for the mark, for the prize, for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Because you'll either start going in your strength, but most often what happens is we begin to doubt, if, in a sense, well, I'm not good enough. Oh, I've failed too much. All of these things. See, that's me, me, me. I become that martyr me. I need to have confidence in the grace of God. Amen. Amen. That's it. It's this love. So see, these guys in fear, they couldn't have a vision. And there's no encouragement in the power of God's love for miracle in your life when you're not confident in the love of God. Because perfect love casts out all fear. All fear. Amen. That's why by the grace of God, don't fear that you will not win him. Trust in his grace. Believe him for that. I'm not saying that I've already apprehended. Don't get me wrong. But I know if I'm a fearful one, the heart of my husband is not going to rest in me. See, I want him to rest. And that rest that the heart of the husband has in that virtuous woman, it's because she knows that he loves her. Isn't that awesome? See, he just wants us to let him know that I believe, Lord, that you love me. You love me. And I mean, love me. Praise God. So, how wonderful that is. So, notice here. It never speaks of Jonathan fearing, does it? Jonathan departs from the unbelievers. He leaves Saul, if you will, with the relatives of Ichabod. I love that. And he walks in faith, believing that it's going to be exceeding abundantly above all I ask or think. That's the victory that God will do. Amen? Now really, you got to think about this. And where this is going and what we've just read. You know, Jonathan's just sitting around. Well, I got an idea. Let's see if the Lord, how much he's for us. Let's see, it may be that the Lord will work for us. Do you get up in the morning and say, it may be the Lord may work for me this morning or today? Come on, amen. Don't we have exceeding great and precious promises? Don't we have a better thing? Well, I want to have a heart like Jonathan. I don't want to sit around with the unbelieving. Huh? I want to get up. And this is honestly what's always on my heart. Lord, what do you have for me today? Yes, come on. What do you have for me today? Now, let's really note verse 1. Jonathan, what does he choose? He chooses the armor. He doesn't choose the masses of men or the numbers of men. Saul goes and sits with 600 men. We're going to get about what 600 men will do. See, this speaks, Jonathan speaks of choosing the mighty word of God for the battle. And let me tell you something, your life is a battle. And you know it. It's a battle here, and then it's a battle everywhere else too. It's a battle. And we need to choose the word of God for that battle. And then I love Jonathan speaks. See, Jonathan speaks the words of a full overcomer. It never changes. Let us go now. Right? He wasn't looking for a victory tomorrow. He wasn't looking one for, you know, next year. It was just like Caleb when he came back. Man, that's a promise. I saw it. Let's go. Jonathan's the same way. Praise God. It may be that the Lord will work for us. There's opportunity today. There's opportunity to believe God. Let's see what he'll have for us today. So there's no delay. There's absolute confidence in the Lord's leading, and he keeps the matter between him and the Lord. And brothers and sisters, it's so sweet because it says, let us go up in that first, over to the Philistines in the first verse, that is on the other side. I love that. See, when you step out in faith, you'll always go on to the other side. You go from man's reality, you step over to God's possibility. And that's the truth. And with God, all things are possible. The word's the same yesterday, today, and forever. The world changes, but he doesn't. This is so wonderful. Take it. Let's run. And praise God, when we go on to the other side, it's always going to be out from among the camp. We know that because we go into him. And where does Jonathan always go? He goes to a battle. He's a fighter. Bridal saints are fighters. You run into the troop. Yeah? Come on. That's it. We don't withdraw. By the grace of God, we face it. And we face it in the word of the Lord. And in that, the victory is sweeter than anything that can be compared. Now, jumping up to verse 4, we notice, I should say, let's kind of back to verse 2. Saul is sitting under a pomegranate tree. Remember I told you it was migraine? It's migron. So migron means cast down. It means defeated. That's where Saul was. Saul decided to sit down with 600 men in defeat. And you wonder why Jonathan didn't want to be there? What do you think? I wouldn't want to be down there. I wouldn't want to be in that surrounding with that kind of company of Ichabod's nephew, in a sense of that's what the encouragement was. See, Jonathan sought out victory. He sought out the Lord's battle. What a heart for God. He was not afraid. Once again, this is that heart that is like David with Goliath. All of them were afraid, but David runs into the battle of the uncircumcised Philistine. See the pattern? He faces that unbelief. He doesn't have to go in and, well, let's just kind of hunker down in this. This reminds me of Joseph. When God calls you out, he can raise up the man of God even in the abomination. That's going on pretty much even in this city. Huh? The abomination really going on in this world. But think about what the Lord said in his word. The evil of man will wax worse and worse. Yeah. Because that bride is going to shine brighter and brighter. Praise the Lord. There's not going to be any doubt with that. Now, what a heart for God. This speaks to me this Jonathan, and just like a David, there's a willingness to suffer, and to suffer that people think you're crazy, that you're not one of us, that you step out. Huh? Yeah. Come on. And I know what's going on, and it shines brightly. Praise the Lord. But Jonathan stepped out. He stepped out from among the people. He stepped out from among his family. He stepped out amongst everything. I mean, we're going to find out a lot about this sweet brother's life. And you talk about going it alone. He went it alone with God. And it was, and we'll see that this transpired pretty quickly in a very short amount of time. That he truly forsakes everything about his natural life to go with the things of God and to go after the best that the Lord has. So much so that it was typed in Brother David, in whom he said his love, and they made that covenant that surpassed the love of a woman. Amen. That's called fully purposed. Amen. Yes, it is. So, see, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. When you're in love, you go. I never read anything about Jonathan's life. Well, he contemplated. It was hard for him. You know, he really was swinging back and forth. This guy was so singleness of heart and mind for God's way and God's word, he just went. You know why? Because he was in love. And in love with the word of God. Always was. And that's what was revealed to him in the heart of David. It was the love for the word of God. It was the heart of God. That's what this is. This is why he went like this. And when you step out in faith, that's what's going to happen. But this speaks of the willingness to suffer, to reign with him. This speaks of the heart of a mighty man that seeks out the giants in a land, that glories in infirmity in a life, that the power of Christ may reign. And that's exactly what Jonathan did here in weakness. Because if you notice here, it says Jonathan gets, who does he get? A young man. Happens to be the armor bearer. And what are we going to do? We're going to go out in weakness, just the two of us, and we're going to go defeat a Philistine army. Is that popular here tonight? But that's what's going on here tonight. That's what the bridal message is. That's exactly what it is. Nobody wants it. Everybody wants to go ahead and sit and compromise, which is basically defeat. Jonathan wanted more. Huh? He wanted more victory. He wanted that glory, and not the glory for himself, but the glory to his Lord. That's what David. David wasn't running after Goliath and riding into Goliath because he wanted glory. This guy was mocking God. And what defeats the mockery of God? Faith. Faith. Oh, that burns the devil. And so he ran at that, and just like Jonathan. Jonathan goes out. Now, and as he goes out here in verse 4, it's very sweet because he gets to this place where there's these two sharp rocks, one on each side of him. And I love that. That rock is sharp, isn't it? Sharper than any two-edged sword. It's going to cut right down to the intent. So he could have gone out there maybe and then said, whoa, this is kind of crazy. We better get back. But he didn't. He gets to this place of these two rocks. And these two rocks, the first one was Bozez. And the word Bozez means surpassing white, glistening. In the Old Testament, this is the most shining in a sense. This is, in a sense, a type of that Shekinah. Okay? Does that kind of ring a bell? Remember lampros white? The glistening? So he goes out from among the camp. He goes to that place with the armor of God. Amen? Because he took the armor? See, you don't go to this place without the armor of God. Because you're done. But he goes to that place of glistening. But then he had another sharp rock there, didn't he? And that rock is Sinna. And that means thorny. So here he's got this glistening, but then you got the thorn. And if you really ever think about that together, the only way we're ever going to wear the lampros white is there's got to be a thorn. Amen. You out there? I believe you are. because you've embraced Paul's gospel. Man, skin's going to pop off, I'm telling you. Isn't he wonderful? You can't even dream this stuff up because it hasn't even entered into our hearts or minds, what God has prepared for them that love him. So in weakness, he goes out there because it's the power of Christ that's got to rest upon him to receive the miracle that God's got for him. Now, we get to verse 6, and oh, what grace here in verse 6. Jonathan said to the young man that bare his armor, "Come, let us get out of here." No, he didn't say that. He said, "Come and let us go over unto the garrison," didn't he, "of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us." Whenever you get in a problem from here on out, can you say, you know, "It may be that the Lord will work for me." Isn't that great? Praise God. Believe the Lord like that. That's how you face this. Praise God. You want to be a mighty man? You don't go, "Well, I don't know if God..." Full assurance of faith believing. I love it. I mean, he was convinced. Convinced. There is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few. So, brothers and sisters, do we have this assurance of the Lord in our lives? Do we have this testimony to others when we speak? That it truly is the very heart of God, that it is the power of his might that's convicting us, that the Lord truly has given us the battle. Amen? Matter of fact, he's told us the victory has already been won. Let's go on over and take it. The heart, once again, of a Caleb. You want to walk through Canaan? You want that promise of God and to enjoy it right now? Then you have to have the heart that says, "Let's go now." That's why she's ready now. That's why the wife hath made herself ready, because she believes in that promise. Praise God. She believes in the grace of God. Amen. Through all the down setting and uprising and my thought afar off, I believe you, Jesus. I believe your word that it will ready me for your appearing. Praise be to God. Now, I pray we do. Now look at this. We don't look at the numbers. We don't look at the ability. If the Lord has said it, it's done. That's the faith that needs to be resolved in our hearts by the grace of God, that we may live a life as thou hast believed, so be it done unto you. Don't you love that? I mean, that is so powerful. As thou hast believed, so be it done unto you. Is that not how you receive salvation? Jesus, I believe you died on the cross. I take you as my Savior. As thou hast believed, so be it done unto you. You're a son of God. It's all by faith. There's nothing, there's no other way. There's no other way but by faith. But then you think about the faith in his faithfulness. The faith in his faithfulness, amen, because we have faith in his finished work on the cross. That's how it all started. We had faith in his finished work, faith in his blood that was shed, that it washed away all my sin, amen, that transformed, praise God, that gave me a life that lives now in me, a new life, the life of Christ. But it's faith in his faithfulness, faith in his grace, faith in his love, faith in his faithfulness. Amen. Verse 7. Listen to the love that quickened his brother's heart. His armor bearer said unto him, "Do all that is in thine heart, turn thee. Behold, I am with thee according to thy heart." Man, I love that. By the grace of God, what love can permeate and encourage and inspire in our hearts. That armor bearer, what testimony and encouragement that we give to others as we stand in the perfect and all the complete will of God. That armor bearer says to him, "Do all that is in thy heart. I am with thee according to what is in thy heart." Man, I love that. We're going to get into next week, and I have to kind of give you this. We're going to see this armor bearer also is such a wonderful type of the Holy Ghost. Because he's the one that gives you the armor. Isn't it wonderful? Oh, the Holy Ghost, hallelujah, is with me. And he's not worried about what I can do because I can't do anything. But you know what the Holy Ghost sees? He sees a heart that believes the Lord, that believes, praise God, the Word of God. Oh, honey, here, the whole armor of God. Take it. Take it and run. Isn't it wonderful? Oh, my goodness, this is fabulous. Now, the encouragement that's there. It's not in the mind. It's not in Jonathan's ability. It's not because he's, again, this king's son. It's the heart that speaks here. The very heart of David. The heart of God's ruling. The heart of God's directing. The heart of God's guiding. The heart of God's inspiring. And brothers and sisters, this also is the fellowship with the cherubim. This is the inspiration by the grace of God that the Lord performs through the joints of the body. This is who and what we are to one another. And I pray to God, we get this. And I do believe you do, because we love one another. And that's why the word of the Lord says that our love would increase the more and more to one another. The value, praise God, of the cherubim wings touching over the mercy seat. This was like that sermon not long ago about the foxhole brethren. Caleb and Joshua. David and Jonathan. Jonathan and this little armor bearer. Praise be to God. This is a brother that will give his life for and with his brother. This is the testimony of the bridal cherubim friends. The need, praise God, for us to receive this testimony. And if we miss it, you're never even going to know what was going on for those that truly lived the excitement of the full overcomers in Christ. Do we really live the excitement? I'll tell you what, there's some things going on out here. And that's one of the wonderful things I have to tell you that we can be in prayer about. But I have to tell you, God graces me to be a pastor. There's a lot of things I hear, and I've heard from different ones. Brother, how do you hear those things all the time? Don't they just gut-wrench you? Yeah, they do. But then in the scriptures, it's like, oh my goodness. And the expectation that I have in the Lord, this is like I'm this little armor-bearer guy. Let's do all that's in your heart. I'm receiving too. Do you see that? I pray you do, because this is the encouragement, the supplying of the Lord, and we need that in one another in Christ. Now, let's close this up. Even though this victory is in Jonathan's sight, I want you to notice verses 8 through 10, the wisdom and maturity to continue to wait on the Lord. Listen to those words. Then said Jonathan, after all of this inspiration in his heart, all of this trusting God, behold, we will pass over unto these men, and we will discover ourselves unto them. If they say thus unto us, tarry until we come to you, then we will stand still in our place and will not go up unto them. But if they say thus, come on up unto us, then we will go up. For the Lord hath delivered them into our hand, and this shall be a sign unto us. This is another testimony, a radiating testimony of a full overcomer. Godly thoughts, I pray, will permeate through our lives constantly. Constantly. But the mature full overcomer will always wait on God for the godly action. And it's huge, it's huge. Determined, but always in the Lord. Determined, but always in the Lord. Motivated, but always with the inner man. The heart of God in us, and not of us. Amen. Amen. And that's where we're praying continually for wisdom. Amen? And praying for patience. Lord, let me wait upon you. Now, brothers and sisters, it's only going to get more amazing in this bridal glory. And you think, in Jonathan's life, this was right from the get-go. It's incredible. Because it's just but a vapor. Jonathan's life is but a vapor. But how powerful a vapor it is. And how quickly that work was done in this precious life. And we've seen so much already, and his heart hasn't been bonded yet with David's. That testimony of that bridal love, but yet that testimony is already there, isn't it? And I love it because we've seen the warrior, and pretty soon we're going to see the lover. She's a lover and a fighter. Praise the Lord. Let's stand and be dismissed.